meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome, and what do I say? Happy Valentine's Day or happy Lent?
Happy Lent.
Ash Wednesday.
It takes precedent.
No. Ash Wednesday.
So what do you do? That's a bit of a... somewhat of a conflict, no?
Or blessed. Well, really. You know what, Father? I was thinking somebody... It's St. Valentine's Day. He was a saint.
Right. A martyr.
And he was a martyr, so people don't think of, you know, him being tortured, and you just think of, oh, you know, the pretty hearts and all that. But St. Valentine was a martyr. He was a saint.
Yeah, when I think of St. Valentine, I think of St. Valentine's Day Massacre here in Chicago. I remember the movie way back
then. I love the movie.
I did too, yeah. I was just in junior high school. Mm. And that's what first comes to mind for some reason. But certainly our emphasis is on Lent. We'll be talking about that. But we can say a little bit about St. Valentine.
Yeah, the real St. Valentine.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I wish I would have brought that article. I was reading an article about the cards. Do you remember as children, I don't know if the kids still do this or not, but we always sent a Valentine card to our classmates.
Okay, yeah. Valentine.
You know, you decorate a little box, you put a slot in the box,
and
the
kids would,
on Valentine's Day, everybody comes and they...
You put a card in there.
Card in there. And they always had cute little things like I wish I had brought that down.
Yeah.
Well, the school kids gave you a card, don't they?
Right. Not.
It was on Valentine's.
Not Valentine's. It was just the fact that this is the first time we've had a school mass.
Oh, since you came back.
Since I came back, okay. And so it was very nice. You know, the preschoolers and the fourth graders and the different grades made cards. So it was very nice. You know, how you're the best priest, and we love that you have Mass for us, and that you teach us about Jesus, and you're the best, Father, and, you know, there's nobody like you,
you're number one.
So you're number one, you know, you're my favorite priest. I'm the only priest they know.
But, right.
You know? But anyway, it's nice. And then you draw pictures draw a picture of me or something, and... Right.
With a cape on, he's Superman.
With a cape, you know,
a smiling face.
Either they've got a picture of me celebrating the Mass, or in the black, in the clerical stuff. And anyway, so it's nice, you know. Yeah, you're the best.
See, I wonder today, since mail is kind of a thing of the past. I mean, do people do those? The kids go to school and, you know, give Valentines to everybody.
You know, I don't even know if our kids do that.
Is that still legal? Is that still an issue?
Well, you give it to boys and girls, right?
Right, but there's always somebody that gets
left
offended
out.
Or, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't offend anybody if you get the whole class cards, but...
I saw some people, they were posting stuff. Pictures of their children's drawings, and they put, oh, I love mommy and daddy, and they put hearts there. So
yeah,
I guess they still do.
Well, you know, I don't recall that we ever gave our parents anything for Valentine's Day, and they didn't give us anything for Valentine's Day.
They just had to go
buy the cards.
The cards.
Right. You get a packet of cards, and then you start filling them out. Right, and then that's
or candy. You know those heart candies with the Be My Valentine.
I remember.
Right,
those.
Exactly.
Those I remember. I don't know if they still do that.
We used to throw those at my classmates.
Oh, and tell, show them your love. Yeah. Like, throw it.
So did you? So you? Well, you both went. Both went this to this school.
Saint Stan's. Yes. Yeah. Yes, Father.
So did you do that when you were in school?
When we went to school.
Did you?
Yes, yeah, we did. I remember. We gave cards to each other and the hearts, the candy hearts and chocolates, which they still do. They give out chocolates.
They give out chocolates.
Yes, they do. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, so what did you? But it, so you went to Catholic school,
right?
Yes. Catholic school. This is Catholic, how the Chicago, Chicago.
I went to Catholic school.
Catholic school. So in the Catholic school, did you? You know what that is? That's of an immigrant thing, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Catholic.
Catholic. Because nobody says Catholic.
Because most of Chicago was immigrant people, Catholic. And they couldn't pronounce the TH. It was more like a D. Catholic.
Right.
Catholic.
Well, Tony Stoltz, when you say with, you say wit.
Wit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, a neighborhood thing.
Isn't about me now. Okay.
Very Chicago.
Well, Tony's very Chicago.
I'm Chicago. Yeah. I'm sassy.
But did you hear about the story of Saint Valentine, Valentinus?
Yes.
In school? You went to Catholic school?
That was too long ago.
It's a Catholic
I don't remember
saint.
Of them telling us school. About St. Valentine's being a martyr.
Tortured.
Maybe it was too graphic for them.
Yeah.
Well, back then, I don't know. Now it's like
different. Yeah, speaking of that, that's interesting. So, you know, when they took the kitty corner from here, St. John Cantius.
Yes.
And I was there. I was part of that house. I was still technically part of that house. Canonically speaking, right. You know, so I belong to that religious house.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, way back when, and this is going back many years, when they closed the school, and the School for Fine Arts, mm-hmm. Chicago School for Fine Arts, is for young people in the arts, when they leased it to them, they had to remove all the statues. Like, because they said it was offensive to the kids because of the violence that was depicted in the statues, like the crucifixion, and there was...
Now, this was back then,
this
right?
was back then.
Back then.
Wow.
So now back it's then. Even more so.
Now it's probably worse.
Yeah, it's worse.
But I thought, my gosh, you know, you think of what these people are watching, what the kids are watching on
yeah,
TV.
Exactly. Yeah, that's even the video
or
games.
Or even the video games, yeah.
Very
yeah.
violent.
It's a weird... We live in a weird time.
It's very contradictory.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Upside down.
I don't know. I don't want to be pessimistic or negative and all that, but
it's hard not to be.
Well, it's. I was reading an article this morning too called "Relativism and Devices Are Dulling Your Kids' Minds," and this was after the mass. So,
yes.
At the mass, I mentioned to the students, you know, that as you fast, because in Lent we fast, almsgiving, fast, prayer, and I, you know, of course by tradition, you give up the sweets and you give up. Yeah, the candies and all that kind of stuff, and things you really, really like pizza or whatever it may be. But, you know, that it really does make sense that today we would incorporate into the fast the these devices, the cell phone and the internet, especially the cell phone, because I think that's what most people, I think you get everything on the cell phone.
Everything's
now,
on
right?
the cell phone. It's a portable computer.
Portable computer. So this is where people. It's kind of grafted into everybody's lives.
Yes.
And so I said, you know, not evil. Not just that we. Why do we fast? But to create space for God, you know, to nurture our relationship with God. But also, you know, so that we can communicate to each other. You know, develop some social skills. They say. They say. Who are they? Studies. I guess. I don't know. I read about it here and there, and I think it's true that young people are losing social skills, you know, the intercommunication.
Just like basic.
Basic communication.
Yeah.
Because of these.
The phone.
Being
I hate to say it, it's not just young people.
Oh, the older people.
Well, sure.
Yeah. My wife, Angelica.
Hey.
And I hate to do this, but it goes right into it. I asked her a question the other day, and she says, "What do I look like, Google?" And I said, "What?
What does that mean?
What Google, do I look like, Google?"
Yeah. Everybody, it's on the internet.
When anybody Google. Has a question, they go to Google to find out information. And
wow.
She thought it was a joke, trying, you know, the Father Tony style, and you don't do that to me because.
Really?
Yeah.
What? I'm lost. I don't know.
Well, you know, everybody goes to Google.
Right, and, you right. know, if you want to
know. There's a question. Sure. Nobody thinks about research anymore. They figure, okay, I can easily go to Google.
And right.
So I asked her, you know, I asked her a question, and she pretty much looked me in the face and said, what do you think I am? Google. Meaning, you know, as a joke toward
as
me.
As a joke. Oh,
right,
a
it
joke.
Was a joke. You know, it was a Father Tony joke where I took it serious.
You took it serious. Okay.
Right. It's like, yeah. But we laughed about it later on because it's like, what do I look like to you, Google?
Yeah. Well, see,
and normally you would go to the Google and look.
Just look
it up. That's the gist of this article.
Exactly.
This is the gist of this article.
It's not just the kids.
So let me, as we, you know, kind of eventually move into Lent, because we're in the season of Lent, but the readings are, I love
Father,
these readings.
You got to talk to her.
I will. I'll do that.
Try to be funny.
Absolutely. Because that was uncalled for.
It was uncalled for.
It was rude. You know.
Taken aback by that.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is, it says, relativism and devices are dulling your kids' minds. Mm-hmm. And it goes right to that point that you're making, that the electronics foster convenience, but the acquisition of knowledge is not a task of idleness. Let's see, how does this go? So society today praises and sensationalizes electronics in the classroom. This is even in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And in the laziness of youth, it is more enticing to students to gather a quick answer from their electronic device rather than to engage with educators in challenging discussions. Mm-hmm. And this is written by a teacher who sees this. And he says what's happened is the devices, let's just say the cell phone, because you said it's the computer's right there.
Everything right there.
What it does is it dulls curiosity, the cultivation of there's a great need to cultivate the curiosity of children and through adolescence, because at that stage of life man is most curious, but we're dulling the curiosity.
Exactly.
And he quotes Plato, of all people, the philosopher, who said that anything received into the mind of the child is likely to become indelible and unalterable. Therefore, it is important that the tales which the young first hear are models of virtuous thoughts, that the curiosity of the child is sacred because it allows a child to step into the mystery of life and begin their search for truth, which is something they've got to engage in that search, you know. But so you talk about searching Google, you get instantaneous answer, instantaneous pleasure, instantaneous gratification. Mm-hmm. I'm having trouble talking because I'm congested. You know, I don't know if I'm in a cold or what, but
it's so true, Father, because you have a question and then you look it up and it's there for you. Mm-hmm. It's given to you. You don't get a chance to use your brain to think. People don't think anymore.
And see, I think people, they may listen to this now or they may not really think about this. And I got to say, even for myself, maybe it's because of my age. You know, I'm not a young person, but I don't get into the Facebook. I don't get into the stuff you can do on this phone. But I realize, too, what's kind of missing now. And there's people, like we talk about young kids who can, I can give this to my nieces and nephews. They know everything about this phone, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're becoming so, you know, good with this.
But do you want to know? See, that's the thing. I don't.
Then there are people that, you know, once you know something, because I know even some of the things I've learned on this phone by myself, because, you know, I figure it's easy to learn, but it's controlling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sense the control. I'm always looking at my phone. I'm always wanting to Google everything.
At one time, you don't.
And you find these phones now are your telephone books. They're your watch.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. They're everything. And it's hard to, you know, I feel for the people that say, well, yeah, I have to give my child the phone because I want to be able to know where they're at all times. But then you take the risk at, okay, what are they doing on this phone? Mm-hmm. And anything can be done on this phone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure, anything.
So it's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's a...
That's why even when you talk now, we're talking Lent, you know, things to give up. Yeah, try to divorce yourself from this phone. it's hard. I'm telling you, as an adult, I have tried doing that, mm-hmm. but it takes concentration.
No, and I have to say quite honestly too that I'm guilty. Not on the phone so much because I don't carry a phone mm-hmm. with me.
But
a
computer's the same.
I can't. But the computers, I'm in my office, and you go right to mm-hmm. again Google or.
You need it now.
So there's a value to it. There's no doubt about it. There's mm-hmm. there's value to it, but that it becomes addictive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That it, even I find myself, and I have to catch myself from doing this. But so if I'm going to the chapel first thing mm-hmm. in the morning after I get ready and everything, and I make a holy hour. Often I'll go beyond the chapel to my office to see. You know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to know what's going on in the world because right. You want to see what's happened over the night and all that. But also the emails, whatever. And, mm-hmm. and what happens is you one thing will lead you to another exactly. thing. And mm-hmm. it's not good. And so I have mm-hmm. to consciously tell myself, okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to pray first, and then. Mm-hmm. Right. I will see what's happening in the world or what's going on.
Even that as an example. I need to pray. Well, before I pray, let me just look at my emails. Before long, 15 minutes sure, is an hour, exactly an right. hour and a half, and yeah. then, I don't have time to pray.
Yeah, and see, the thing that he brings out in this article, again, this is mm-hmm. a teacher, but he said that he blames parents, and he says, parents no longer feel an obligation to accept the parental responsibility of guiding their children to seek truth through their curious exploration of the mystery of life. When the child is distracted, parenting becomes secondary. Yeah. The parent has unintentionally conditioned their child to engage in something that is instantly gratifying to them at the sake of their curiosity being fostered. And I see that, mm-hmm. and you can't. I don't blame the parents, but I think we have to be conscious of what right. what's going on.
And I think about that even like with addiction, a lot of times we don't. That's why I love the Lenten season so much because it's time to look at ourselves or look deep inside. But even when you think of addictions, you don't even know that. You don't know how you could be addictive to certain foods. You sure. don't know how you could sure. be addictive to the phone mm-hmm. or addicted to many things. Just by, unless you sit down and you say, look, what are my actions? How am I, reliant on this?
Well, if you can't, yeah, exactly. You rely on it. If you can't live without mm-hmm. it, can we live without that? Right. I have to, when I go to Rome, or I don't take
put it
any
away.
Of that. I put
yeah.
it away, mm-hmm. and I feel this freedom, absolutely freedom. I don't want that stuff. I'm a thinker anyway. I like to walk. I like to think and pray. But see, this is the thing too. What is that doing to a child's curiosity mm-hmm. for God, the things of God, yeah. all things sacred? Because really now everything is—it's got to be bullet points. People don't read. This is—I keep hearing this, and I think it's true. They're looking for bullet. In fact, I heard this the other night somewhere that even for the news, we're talking about educated people and all that they don't want to read entire articles.
Nope.
They read the headline, and that's it, or maybe mm-hmm. a couple of lines. Yeah. It's. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, but we do have to. You wonder what the future is going to be if we don't begin to wean ourselves away from this, or at least seek some kind of balance. Mm-hmm. It's like the thing with the cigarettes, and it was very addictive, and so at some point society recognized the destructive destructive element to mm-hmm. to smoking, and began this way back in the 60s and the 70s. I think this campaign to really wean everybody away from cigarettes.
It's interesting because I was watching an older movie from like the 70s mm-hmm. and I realized how they're lighting up cigarettes and that doesn't happen now. Any of the movies now, it's all taken out. And I'd say to myself, I wonder if that's really helped any because I still see people smoking and there's just ads everywhere too.
How odd too, when you think of some of the old movies where they've got landlines, is that what they call it?
Landlines.
And it seems so
odd.
They
pick the phone up and say, wait a minute.
Yeah. Really, really strange. Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting world, yeah. So, but this is the reality today. But what do we do? How do we got to recognize the problem, and how do we rectify it? What do we do? So I just say, as we've been saying, Lent is an opportunity to, as we're choosing to to create the space. The reason for the fast is to. It's a sacrifice in order to allow ourselves to think about God and the things of God and who we are, where we've come from, what are our obligations, what kind of witness do we give to others as a people who believe in God. By the way, speaking of God, you know, I want to get so much into the... Okay, this is like Jesus... Yesterday we were talking about how Jesus, because he had performed these miracles, he couldn't freely go into the towns openly. And then, of course, as he comes to the end of his journey, and we'll see this certainly as we come to the end of Lent, as we move toward and into the Holy Week, but there are those nefarious forces that want his demise, his destruction. They want him out of the way because he is the conscience of the people. So... So he couldn't again enter freely into the holy city because they were looking to trap him and take him. Eventually, he knows he's got to allow it to happen. He allows himself to be taken by force because he's got to fulfill the will of the Father, and that is to lay down his life. And he does that for love of the Father and for love of us, to redeem us, to save us. But this idea that you know, we are not able to openly, we have to, but how hard it is today to openly profess not only your faith, but even your political position on things because the environment is so hostile. And I was listening to a news report last night that the vice president, Pence, he's a very religious man. He was a Catholic, and his family's a very devout Catholic, but he converted to, when he was in college, he converted to the Evangelical Church, I believe it was. His wife was very devout and very active in the Evangelical Church, and he experienced what he would call a born-again experience, I guess. But he's a very, I see him as an admirable man, you know, whereas the president is a little bit boorish and all that, you know, but you can't even speak about the president. If you support some of his policies or whatever, you can't, in the climate today and the environment today, you cannot, you can't publicly say that because you're automatically written off or you know, all that stuff. But the thing that was interesting, so this, this commentary, and I don't get into a lot of this stuff, but I'm just saying, I want to make a point. Omarosa, whatever it was, this, I forgot this one. She was on the Apprentice. Was it The Apprentice or whatever?
Apprentice, yeah.
So she's really bashing the president and even saying, you think Trump is bad? She said, you know, Pence is worse.
That's what I've heard.
Because a lot of people say that. You say really?
I've heard this.
Yes, I've heard that.
Oh, I've heard that.
He said he's worse because of he's and she said, "Well, I believe in Jesus, but he's a fanatic." Basically, she says he's a fanatic, and that he says Jesus talks to him or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you know, on The View, and I've never watched it, but I've watched it a couple times at home when I was
home. This sickens me.
That is talk about sickness.
Yeah.
These women on that.
I'm gonna channel Jerry now.
Those women are vicious.
But vicious is right. Yeah. Oh, they are. Unbelievable. Yeah. But the things that they said about Pence.
The sad thing
that he's crazy.
Yeah.
Because of this faith he has in Christ Jesus, and even one of the I saw this on the news, it was one of these news commentaries, and one of the women. I don't even know who the women are. I don't. There was, the one is Joy Behar or something like that. Yeah. But Whoopi.
Whoopi.
Oh, yeah.
Whoopi's on there. Yeah.
Okay.
But the whole thing is disgusting to me. Yeah. The things that they say. And of course, the clapping seals. Everybody's there clapping and applauding and laughing and all that.
You know what the sad thing about this is? And I listen, or I think about what we do here. You know, what we do here gets not a mention, but something like that can be on every day. And there are so many people that follow that kind of nonsense.
Which is really frightening, I think.
It is. It is. And I don't know, again, if it's that point where... Do people realize how they get sucked into this kind of
stuff?
Well,
see, it's again, it goes back to this, the devices and all that. You know, we're very impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
We seek instant gratification. We live at a level that is rather superficial. Okay. All about feelings. We don't use our thinking. We don't rationalize. Mm-hmm. And it's all gut reaction to anything and everything. And So one of the there was one woman, I don't know who she was. She said, oh, "I'm a Catholic and I have faith." But she said, basically, she said he's a Nazi. And I thought, wow, you know, what is wrong with these people? But to say that he was that he's crazy, local crazy. Mm-hmm. She even said he's nuts. He's nuts. Yeah. And this is. Yeah, anyway.
It's just like anything I listen to lately, and this has become an awakening for me probably like in the last 10 years, where I start, and I consider myself open-minded. I am exposed to a lot of different things, but what I'm learning now more than anything or more than any time in my life is to take, there's personalities. People do things for whatever reason, to get ratings, to do, I don't know. There's that stuff in the background, but I've started to say to myself, when I hear things that are so like brutal that way, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Sure.
You know, I firmly believe that people should be allowed to say whatever they want to say. I mean, I don't want to, you know, it's part of our freedoms to, you know, speech. But when it comes to stuff like that, either you are hurt. In other words, I walk away and I pray for people like that only because if they're trying to get ratings or they're trying to get noticed or they're just trying to, you judge people by the way they speak. You judge people by the content of what they say. And it's just there's no time for that in life.
Causing
dissension. It's causing...
The whole mainstream, the mainstream media uh-huh. is all propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, it's...
And they don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, they seem to think they do.
They think they do, but it's just...
But they control the narrative.
Yeah.
And it's a real manipulation
mm-hmm.
of
I've learned to
society.
Look between the lines.
If we're not thinking... Mm-hmm. And see, this is, again, it goes back to the technology. If we're mm-hmm. not curious and we don't use it, we're not using our imagination and seeking truth or trying to, you know, use our reasoning, our capacity to reason and to balance things... Mm-hmm. Then you know we get people too many people get swept away into that stuff, or maybe people because you can't openly speak about your values or your principles, your political position or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, or your religious profession, because it's automatically we've just been. I mean, you know, like they were saying as in this commentary, they were saying that, for instance, in this case where they're talking about Jesus and, mm-hmm. you know, that Pence is, the vice president is nuts, cuckoo, crazy, mm-hmm. all this. If they had said that about Muhammad, somebody who's known about Muhammad, they wouldn't dare do it.
Exactly.
No
they wouldn't
way.
Do it.
That would be
that's
sad.
Why you see that there's the agenda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see that that's something that's not right.
Well, Nick says we got to take a break, okay. and we're way beyond. We're halfway into the show. And we haven't even gotten into Lent. But maybe this is all part of it, because we got to really pull away from this stuff, you know, or find ways to engage mm-hmm. in the society. Because this is all about what Lent is about, giving witness. It's a time of purification. In order for transformation and sanctification to happen, so that the church's mission can be all the more evident, you know, that we can bear that light a bit more bright in this world that is more and more enveloped in a darkness, a very seductive, very deceptive kind of a darkness. I always think of, what, you know, Jesus came into the world, the light came into the darkness, but people chose rather to stay in the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit, because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we begin the season of Lent. I don't know if we got sidetracked or not, but you know, and even in the break, we're speaking about the world we live in today, mm-hmm. the society we live in today, and how hard it is to you know. I just started back having my full confession time, and it's so sad, you know, to hear what people are. It may not be people, you know, necessarily confessing their sins, but it's, you know, they bring their sufferings, you know, mm-hmm. what's going on in their what's happening mm-hmm. in their marriage or in the mm-hmm. family with the children. And Nick, I missed that, whatever you just put up there, so if you can put that up there again. But the it's like there's things are so broken mm-hmm. that how do you rectify this situation, you know? And I say, you know, I always have to say, you know, God isn't a magician. Okay, let's see, once how we can give up technology or items with it for a bit of Lent. So Lent. I'm congested, completely congested, so I'm fighting this as right. I'm talking, you know. But the point is that, you know, people, their lives are devastated. Mm-hmm. Their families are devastated. There's the division. And it's very, very sad, and people are very sincere, and they're very hurt by what's happened, and it's something they're not able to control, because let's say the husband or the wife or the children or whatever, they're kind of lost in cyberspace, mm-hmm. or they're caught up in the ways of the world, and they have, as this article says, you know, the young people, teenagers, because of this, they lose their curiosity, mm-hmm. they lose their capacity to reason, to think. Because everything is instant information, mm-hmm. instant gratification, and it goes back to this relativism that, you know, it's just like one truth is as good as another truth. There is no truth, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's very much mm-hmm. being controlled by one's feelings, and so parents or people who have faith, who have the humility, and the wisdom, to seek, you know, God, to grasp at the mystery that God is, and to stay with that. And it's one of the things, you know, many will say, you know, it's just that, you know, they have their own trials and tribulations, but they have the wisdom to persevere in the faith and to remain grounded in God, because this other stuff is,
it's all passing.
We're passing through this mm-hmm. diabolical disorientation, and things are passing away. But in the meantime, people are getting hurt. Mm-hmm. People are enslaved. Yeah. People are lost. People are distressed. But they don't, you know, to try to bring them back into the faith, it just doesn't, it doesn't make any sense to them, because there's no instant gratification mm-hmm. there. And it's sometimes people come there looking for that. I says, but this is, you know, it's not going to happen here. You know, you could have a St. Paul experience, you know, an awakening to the faith, and that would be the hope that, you know, and God does do that. I mean, I meet people that have, and I've mentioned this before, you know, people who have come to the church, they didn't know why, but they were drawn here. And they came through the door, and there was this a conversion mm-hmm. experience. Well, that happens, but it doesn't mean you're going to fly out of the church. You're going to have to get back into the dirt of life, mm-hmm. and, you know, wrestle with these things. But at least know now that God has your back, and you try to keep yourself grounded in God. But it's not we're not a church of entertainment. We're not mm-hmm. going to entertain. We're not going to, you know, I can't perform for people. Yeah. And so I'm thinking of another instance, a case I had the other day, but, and I feel so sad for these people, you know, and it is draining. There's a great sadness and a great, I always think when we speak of the suffering faith, it's because we see, we have something very beautiful. We find the pearl that has no price, as the scripture says, and so it radically transforms our lives. It changes us, and but your hope and prayers that others will find it as well. But it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. In fact, what it says is that, you know, it reminds us that life is hard. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're in the valley of tears. We have to suffer the distress and the oppression and the depression, you know, the stress, all these things, persecution. I mean, it's all part of life, and we don't seek to escape in any kind of destructive way, but we learn to stay in this story, so to speak. But, and to carry the cross, as Jesus said, you pick up the cross, you follow me, but that he's with me. And see, our faith is about sacrificial love. And this is something that I think we've really gotten away from, is that our love, the love of a Christian, has to be sacrificial. We emulate Jesus, who laid down his life. And so we suffer for these people, our people, members of our family, or we suffer for them, because we know that it doesn't have to be, or that they've made choices that have consequences that are very painful and rather enduring. And this was an instance I was dealing with the other day. And so they come and they're basically, people are crying, you know, because we've been away from the church and we ended up in this or that or whatever. And it's basically destroyed the family. It's destroyed our lives. We live in fear for reasons. I don't want to go into all this, but so basically they hit rock bottom. So we come back to the church and what can the church give me? It's just, a Christ, you've got to be willing to enter into the discipline of the faith and to persevere in that, because this is, it's not going to, your problems aren't just going to, at the snap of a finger, go away, but you got to put your faith and trust in God that he's going to see you through this. And he knows his own. And so he can, as scripture says, as Jesus says, good will come out of out of evil and light will come out of darkness and eventually life will come out of death. But you've got to stay with the program and you got to stay with us. You can't just, and don't expect that you're going to come here and you're going to, you have to suffer it. You have to suffer it.
I think of that instant gratification.
Well, that goes
people
back
walk
to it,
away because it's not, you don't want to do the hard part.
It's the hard, yeah.
I think of when Jesus came here, he didn't, like you say, tiptoe to the tulips. He came in, he suffered, and he died for us. And that's, if people really had a grasp of that and knew what that really was about,
The realism of our faith is that Jesus didn't hold anything back in telling us that life is not easy. Yeah. And
it's like, well, the world tells you, yes, it is. Do this. You can have this.
Well,
it's, have the new thing. Yeah.
Because that's what, again,
and we fall for
the Shah of Iran and my father said this as well, that the downfall of the Western world will be the cause of the media. And I believe it because it creates an illusion. It's everybody looks beautiful. Everybody has a happy face, and any kind of tragedies, there's beautiful music behind that, and you know what I'm saying. But even aside from that, that's one thing. But I've said this before, and I really don't go to movies. But I, now because of the internet, the movies you can check, get the trailer or whatever. But the violence is unreal. Yeah. I can't even watch some of these trailers because of I recoil. The
violence and the vulgarity,
violence, and the sex. All this stuff. Yeah. And so you wonder. This is the hypocrisy of it all, because now the Hollywood's they're caught. All the scandals and the abuse and this and that and whatever. And I think to myself, I'm thinking of another instance that I've just been dealing with too, where a kid, well, I don't want to go into it, but he did something to somebody, and
he's in trouble now.
He's in trouble. Right. And I'm listening to the pain of this mother, and who's blaming herself for everything. And I have to tell her, that this is how do you expect young people, especially in the area of sexuality, when they are bombarded with images, and even they're now. I was reading in Great Britain, because Europe is
it's a mess,
but in England, in Great Britain, it is now going to be absolutely required in public and private schools, Catholic schools as well. How they're going to do it, I don't know, because this is something that the church can't do. But it's either now law or it's becoming law that already from the time children are in kindergarten, they are going to be taught, transgenderism, the redefinition of marriage, all this stuff, it's all part of the sexual curriculum.
How do you do that in kindergarten?
They say it's age appropriate, but what is age appropriate?
There's no such thing as that anymore.
It's bark. So let's get to Lent because we're gonna have to take a break let's take a break and then we'll come back.
Yeah. Sure.
Because that first reading today, all the readings for this day in Lent are just so so beautiful. Yeah. The problem is we'll hear this, but do we have an environment that supports us in the journey we're now going to make together? Because we are so distracted by so many things. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have trouble with some of the teachings of the church? Well, I have good news for you. I am Father Thomas J. Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. In a sense, the church has no teachings. It is God who has the teachings. It is God who created the divine order of things, and the church simply points to that order and says, be honest to that order and you will be happy. The why behind what the church says about any moral issue has to do with whether or not we are telling a truth or telling a lie with the language of our bodies. If we are honest with the language of our body, we'll be holy and therefore happy. Being dishonest with the language of our bodies results in hurt and therefore unhappiness. Almighty God and the church want us all to be happy. Having a problem with church teachings really means having a problem with God and of not understanding the theology of the body. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taberlife.org. Taberlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I just want to say one more thing. We were just talking about this during the break as well. And we're just asking questions, you know. Right. I mean, I think everybody, maybe not everybody, because otherwise, I think some of us are.
Some are thinking.
Others are just kind of lost and all this stuff, and they think we're the nuts, we're the crazy ones, we're the local, we're crazy.
Right.
Idiots. Why did I say idiot? I think people think we are.
Yeah.
So I was watching Dr. Phil when I was in Rochester, you know, and I don't.
Which is the first mistake.
I can't stand. That stuff just turns my stomach.
But isn't it like a car wreck? You start watching, you can't kind of look away. You have to physically say, okay, enough, I can't take this.
Well, exactly.
That's what happens to me.
But it caught my attention because I was, you know, flipping the channels and all that. I was waiting, it was in between appointments. And,
that's how it drives you in.
Well, I didn't draw. It draws you in for a moment, right. But then I can't watch this. This is just
too much.
This is because this is not my reality, and yet it is reality. It's a sad reality,
right?
But they had a case where a young woman was a very young woman was addicted. We're talking about addictions. Mm-hmm. Addicted to psychics.
Wow.
And so I forgot the money, but it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. She lost her home, she lost her car, she lost everything. Because she was spending money on these psychics, just going from psychic to psychic, looking for someone to tell her what she wanted to hear,
right.
And that everything was going to be okay. Well, you know, the thing is, everything will be okay, yes, if you have humility and the courage to stay on this narrow path, as Jesus said. It is, in other words, and this is the realism of the faith, is that it's not an escape. Mm-hmm. It's really getting into the dirt. I was the dirt of life, into the trenches to fight the good fight, but to you know, cleave to Christ, keep our eyes on God, know where we've come from, where we're going, and yes, be okay with the mystery of it all. We can't exhaust, and this is the beauty of it, I think. You can't exhaust the mystery that God is. But God doesn't, God isn't about instant gratification. Mm-hmm. He drags us through the desert, through the dark night. We become wise, our faith goes deeper from the things we suffer in life. Jesus said, you're not gonna avoid it. It's not, you can't avoid it. Now, the world will give us many ways to try to avoid the real stuff of life, you know, which is a commitment to each other. It is, in a word, sacrificial love. But again, it means that we're a reasoning people, that we are seeking, you know, I guess what's lacking in many people's life is purpose and meaning. You know, unless the purpose and meaning of my life is to have X amount of money in the mm-hmm. in the bank, to have this kind of, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we're certainly in a position where we need to repent, and that's what the readings are. We're going to hear this. The gospel opens with this call to repent and believe that the kingdom is at hand. But you've got to, you know, seek to be converted. There's got to be a conversion. There's got to be a change. We need metanoia. We need a transformation. We got to change. We got to dance to the tune of a different drummer, so to speak, right? And I love the first reading from the prophet Joel this morning, if you go to Mass today. But because it's just a beautiful thing, and this is what the church is doing. We're calling everybody. You know, the reading says, the Lord says, "Return to me now with your whole heart. Don't come to me with a divided heart. Bring your whole heart." And he says, to do this, you know, come with fasting, with weeping and mourning. In other words, realize how you've fallen. Realize how you've deviated. Realize what you've done to yourself and you've done to others, you know. And we have, you know, as a people. Well, what are we doing to our children? What are we doing to their children, to the innocence of a child? That when Jesus says, be like the children, that, you know, they have the innocence, be childlike, be open to wonder at the mystery of God, again, the curiosity and all that, but we're taking that away from our children. And so, you know, realize what's happened and come with your hearts, rend your hearts, not your garments. And he says that, for gracious and merciful is God. He's slow to anger. He's rich in kindness. He is relenting in punishment. And he will relent. He will leave behind a blessing. So, you know, that's the good news, right? There is a way out of this. Mm-hmm. But it means to get on this narrow path and to be willing to bear responsibility, to take responsibility, to fulfill obligation before God, which means that we live in a right way with each other. And so, having said this, you know, God is saying, okay, I promise you, I'm kind, slow to anger, I'm merciful, I'm gracious. If you come to me, I know my own, and I will take care of you, I will be with you. But again, it's not instant gratification. He's not going to, you know, it's a snap a finger, he's not a magician, he's going to wave a wand and everything's going to go away. No. He will bring good out of evil, light out of darkness, life out of death. But we've got to be willing to walk this path. And again, Jesus held nothing back in speaking about this is a very difficult path, and very few can stay on this path, you know, the path that leads to eternal life. And as Peter says, well, how can man be saved? He says, but for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. So he says, okay, so and this is the beautiful thing. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast, let the bridegroom and the quit his room and the bride her chamber, between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Where is their God? And the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. So that's the question, you know, where is God? Or God says, where are my people? Mm-hmm. Where are my people? And I have to say, quite honestly, you know, here in the city, and we're right in the city, right in the heart of Chicago, in the, you know, downtown, basically. And, I mean, not downtown, not in the loop, but right on the edge of the mm-hmm. loop, but in the heart of Chicago. And it, maybe it's different in the suburbs, but I go through this every Sunday. I have to hold back a little bit, because there's a sadness when I see. We have this beautiful church. I think we celebrate the Mass in a beautiful way. We don't do anything flippant, you know. Mm-hmm. We're very focused on who we are, what we're doing. It's the offering, the surrender, the entrustment of our lives through Christ to the Father, and so few people come, mm-hmm. you know. So few people come, you know, and this is any, you take any yearbook from parishes going back 50 years or whatever, mm-hmm. and the contrast is so striking, because we have entered into a radically secularized society that is gleefully mocking God and those who adhere to God, or they'll take, you know, those who are, we have, you know, we're a cast of characters. Mm-hmm. And they'll focus on people who are maybe kind of fanatical or whatever, mm-hmm. or they'll make somebody out to be fanatical, right. as they mm-hmm. did with the vice president, mm-hmm. it seems to me.
And they'll make fun and make fun and make fun.
Sure, sure. Is that to appease their own conscience?
Sure.
I don't, it's just crazy. It's really weird, but... So, you know, basically that's, we're just about at the end of the show here, but in the second reading, you know, and this is the thing, for those of you who are listening, you know, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for God, for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. And so St. Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. This is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And maybe that's the bottom line as we end the show today. This is an acceptable time. It's an inconvenient time. Mm-hmm. It's not a season time. But it's the acceptable time, because if we're not true to who we are, if we're not living humbly, and I mean really humbly, but with courage and really heroism, our faith, you know, stay with God, persevere. The key is always perseverance in humility and surrender every day. Then we give people an opportunity to know, love, and serve God. That people are going to hit rock bottom. Mm. And when they do, they've got it like this. These people come and say, please, show us the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. But his way is not an easy way. So be willing to come down this path, and you'll be free. You'll be free. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.